Hallelujah. Above the earth, on the earth, below the earth, there is no name that is higher. There's no name that is greater. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Can you say thank you for the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. If you are a Christian today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have such an amazing grace on your life. You have so much to be thankful for. And today we want to give God praise with all of our hearts, because as Christians today, we have a living hope. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was planned by God. It was not an afterthought. It was something that God knew he was about to do. And he understood the sacrifice he was going to make. And Jesus accepted the Father's will. In the garden, even though he was tormented because the devil was trying to stop him from going to the cross. I want you to understand something this morning. Jesus was not debating in the garden whether or not to accept God's will. He was not fighting God's will. It was the devil who was trying to kill him before he could finish God's will. And that's why it says he agonized in the garden. He prayed for strength, and an angel was sent to strengthen him. Why? So he could quit? No, so he could go through with it. Hallelujah. Just give me a little more volume here, Brother Jimmy. Jesus finished the mission of God. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The resurrection is good news for all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you today that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is still at work today. Somebody say it with me. It's still at work today. The same power that crushed the enemy, the same name that causes the demons to tremble. For those of us who believe, for those of us who are longing to see miracles, for those of us who are hoping, oh Lord, for better days ahead, Lord. We're hoping and believing for our loved ones. We're hoping and believing, God, that the neighborhood will be changed, oh God, and that this world won't be so dark and it won't be so divided, Lord. We're hoping that racism will end, hallelujah, and hatred will end, hallelujah, and that people will turn to you in the thousands and the multiples, the millions will turn to you, God. We believe for a better future, Lord, because we have the hope of all mankind living inside of us. And what the world needs out there is what we have right in here. The world needs what we have here today. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, when the disciples on the Sunday night after Jesus was resurrected, they had heard reports from the women who went to the tomb that Christ was risen from the dead, but some of them still doubted. It's interesting that it was Mary Magdalene and the other women who first saw Jesus. But at night, two of the disciples were walking on their way to Emmaus, and they were very discouraged because they still hadn't fully understood that Jesus actually was alive. And it says they were talking to one another, and they were very sad, and their faces were downcast. And then Jesus actually comes up alongside of them. The resurrected Christ comes alongside of them, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus is in this house this morning. You need to recognize him. Hallelujah. You need to open your eyes. We're not here to have a religious ritual this morning. We're here to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The resurrection is just not a creed that we say with our lips. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The resurrection gives you the privilege and the opportunity to meet the risen Savior. Just like those two disciples didn't realize the Lord Jesus had come alongside of them. And they were about to meet him. And he asked them, why are you so discouraged? And here's what they said. They said, have you not heard about Jesus? He was a prophet. He was a mighty man of God. But then he was crucified. And it's been, 24 hours since we have seen him. It's been 3 days since we have seen him. And we had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to save Israel. Have you ever had that, been in that place in your life where you had hoped something would happen, but it didn't happen? I'm here to tell you this morning, keep putting your hope in God. Hallelujah. Don't be discouraged. Don't be downcast. Put your hope in God. In his time, in his way, he will always do what is best in his eyes. He will always give the best to those who look to him for the answer. Amen? Let's start in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Fellow Israelites, this is Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit has been poured out. There were 3,000 people there watching, at least 3,000. And he says to the crowd that was watching, after they had been filled with the Holy Spirit, after they recognized that the power of God had come to stay and the church age had been born, he says this to the crowd: Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you not by default, not as a mistake, not because the devil won, somebody say amen, but by the deliberate plan and foreknowledge of God. Do you see that? And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible, say impossible, for death to keep its hold on him. How could you kill the author of life? Somebody say something today. How could you kill the author of life? I want you to know this morning that the crucifixion and the betrayal of Jesus and all that he went through was not a victory for Satan. It was not a plan B that God said, oops, I better come and help my son because, you know, he's in trouble. It was not an oops. It was God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge to use the very worst of the devil, to use the worst that man could throw at God and turn it around and make it a victory by conquering death and sin and hatred and every evil thing in this world. I want you to notice the display of God's power. Even during the crucifixion, God was not absent. When the crucifixion happened, the Bible says that darkness covered the earth for 3 hours. There was an unusual and unexpected eclipse of the sun. For 3 hours, it was dark. And then when Jesus cried out, the veil in the temple was torn. The earth quaked. There was an earthquake. Rocks were split apart. Even people who were dead, some of the Old Testament saints, came back to life, and they were walking around. They were spotted by witnesses in Jerusalem. The centurion who thought he was in charge, somebody say who thought he was in charge, felt the earthquake and heard Jesus declaring with a loud voice, it is finished. And usually a person who is dying of asphyxiation doesn't have a voice left. Somebody who's been beaten within an inch of their life. Jesus was not just crucified, he was flogged and crucified. Most of his life blood had already been spilt out. And when the centurion heard he had crucified other people, this was a man who was in charge of 100 soldiers. He was a hardened soldier. He had seen other people die cursing and, you know, bemoaning their fate. But here he hears Jesus with a loud voice saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished, and into your hands I commit my spirit. And then the earth shook, and the Bible says that the centurion was afraid. He was terrified and said with his own words, truly this was the Son of God. See, God was involved. He knew what he was doing. I'm saying this for somebody here today who perhaps this past year, you've seen a lot of bad things happen. And not everything went according to plan. And you're wondering, where was God? God, where were you? Where are you, God? God was right there, hallelujah, allowing his son to be crucified for the sins of the world, because it was the only way that you and I could be redeemed and restored back to a living relationship with God. There was nobody else found worthy to bear the sins of the world, only the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. On Easter Sunday was the same thing. The women came to anoint the body of Jesus. Again, there's an earthquake. You think God was trying to show something here? And an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven, and he goes to the tomb, and he rolls back the stone. And he sits on it. I love this part. He sits on the stone. Why does the Bible say that little phrase? He sat on it. I think it was like God saying, is this all you got? A big rock? That's the best you can do? Is put a rock in front of the... It's like, that's nothing. Even one of my buck private angels can take care of that. Come on now. The guards, again, tough soldiers, were so afraid that they shook and they fainted like dead men. The angel's face was like lightning and his clothes were like white as snow. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Everybody say, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said, according to the plan of God, even as he described to you several days ago. Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he said, now we're going up to Jerusalem before his arrest. He says, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of the Gentiles. I will be beaten. I will be tortured, crucified. But on the third day, I will rise again. And then I want you to meet me in Galilee. Do you know of any other religion where the author of the religion prophesied his death and resurrection and then set an appointment for 3 days later? He said, I'm going to rise from then, and then I want you all to meet me in Galilee, where we had, you know, predetermined that we're supposed to meet. In Luke's gospel, Luke, the gospel writer, says, the angel says these words, why do you seek the living among the dead? Hallelujah. If you came here today for a nice sermon saying, I got to do my religious thing today, you won't find Jesus in dead religion. There are a lot of places around the world today that have just dead religion. It's just ritual. The point of the resurrection is for you to meet Jesus. Not to just have a religion, but for you to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Is there anybody excited here today besides me? Thank you, Pastor Angela. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you this morning that the same power, song we just sang, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in every Christian. Hallelujah. If you were baptized in water, you may remember that you went down into the water, symbolizing being buried with Christ. In Romans chapter 6 says, if you were baptized in water, you went down into a watery grave. Your sins were buried with Christ. But thank God the minister didn't leave you under the water. Somebody say amen. Aren't you glad he brought you back up out of the water? Maybe you were afraid he would leave you in the water, but he didn't. Because coming back out of the water represents resurrection to a new life. We have been raised to live a new life. Not by the power of sin, but by the power of the Spirit of God. For the power of Spirit of God in Christ, the life of God in Christ, has set me free from the power of sin and death. I am no longer a slave to sin. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. As Christians, we got something to be excited about. God was so excited about his Son completing his mission that he came. He didn't even wait till noonday on Sunday. It says, at the first sign of daylight, the first glimmer of dawn on Sunday morning, he said, that's it, Satan, you're done. My Son is out of here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He was raised in power. And he wasn't just raised for God's Son, for himself. He was raised for you and I. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He validated by this act of power. He defied death. He honored his Son. He overcame all the evil in the heart. See, every evil thing, the same personality that's behind evil today was the personality known as Satan back then. He put it in Judas's heart to betray Jesus. It was that same devil. Amen? Amen? But guess what? God showed once and for all time that he defeated the power of Satan, so you and I do not have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to be a slave to habits. You don't have to be addicted to anything other than Jesus. Hallelujah. And I hope you come out next Sunday. We're going to see some men who were in addictive lifestyles, drugs and pornography and alcohol, other abusive relationships, delivered by the grace of the living God. Hallelujah. You can't tell me that God is not alive. Hallelujah. Even the children said it today. He's living and he's roaring like a lion. Hallelujah. They had the little dog there, Annie, to show the lion, I guess. Hallelujah. The resurrection is good news for us. We should be filled with joy and gratitude. I want to focus for a few minutes on the truth that God still has the power to accomplish his purposes in our lives and through us on the earth. I'm sharing this because I believe there are people here that don't just need a history lesson. You need more than, you need somebody to speak a word into your life right now. Because you have been facing a situation where the devil is trying to tell you that this is dead and gone. Your hope is dead, buried in God. It's never going to be resurrected. There's never going to be any answer. Let me tell you something. God doesn't always answer exactly what we tell him to do, but he will always answer and give us what is best. Hallelujah. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Somebody say amen. When David sinned against God, he said, Lord, one thing I ask of you. Don't let me fall into the hands of men or into the enemy. Let me be in your hands. Even if you have to spank me, Lord, I'd rather have you spank me than anybody else. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Paul the Apostle said, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. Everybody say for us. Or toward us, it says in a different translation, who believe in him. Understand today the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. You see, it wasn't just for Jesus that he demonstrated his power and his glory. It was also for us to remember that once and for all, God's power is greater. The name of Jesus is higher. The blood that was spilt is ever efficacious to cleanse us from our sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. The same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler, any authority, or power, or leader, or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. We have been raised, as Angel mentioned before, in Ephesians it also says, we have been raised, ascended, and seated with Christ spiritually. And you might say, Pastor, how is it possible that we could be in heaven and on earth at the same time? Are you with me today? Give your neighbor a little elbow right now and just say, are you with me? Come on now. Physically, we're still here. But spiritually, God raised us spiritually so that our spirit could be free to be with Christ. We can have communion with the God who sits in heaven. Our high priest, whoever intercedes for the saints, is with us in our hearts today. So we don't have to be under the circumstances because we're seated above all power and above all principality and every name that is named. I don't know if you believe that, but I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah. I'm sure the enemy would have loved to have taken me out many times. How many of you know you've had some close, narrow escape from death? The devil would have loved to have taken you out prematurely, but he can't because you're under the blood of Jesus. You're under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're under the blood of Jesus. There is nothing impossible with him. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even while we were sinners, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I'm talking to people today where the enemy has tried to steal your hope. He's tried to steal your hope. But I want to remind you about some things today. Never give up on your faith. God's power is greater than any problem you have. It's greater than that difficult situation with your loved one. That relationship that seems to be really broken right now. God can restore the backslider. God can heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He spent 40 days after his resurrection, 40 days proving that God had raised him. He went and spoke with Peter. He was with the disciples. At one point, he met with over 500 witnesses at one time. He was proved to be the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead. I want you to learn three powerful truths, or leave you with three powerful truths today, that the resurrection of Christ will forever prove and that can never be changed. The resurrection will be forever proof of the fact that in the showdown between good and evil, good wins. Somebody say, the good guys win in the end. Don't you like to watch a movie where the good guys win? Me too. Some of the movies today, though, that the hero is half good and half bad. You notice that? The hero is a hero, but he also has a drinking problem, or he also beats his wife. You know, I mean, it's crazy. I can tell you that Jesus is all good. He has no dark side. He's not moody. He's not in a bad mood today. Hallelujah. When he looks upon you, he sees you as his only son. Hallelujah. As he sees his son, Jesus. So in this showdown between light and darkness, the light overcomes the darkness. So if you're in a situation at home or at the office where you're being persecuted or you're being mistreated in some way, keep loving, keep trying, keep praying. Light a candle. Light a candle, because the light will overcome the darkness. Thank you, Jesus. The cross is forever proof, and the resurrection is forever proof that God wins. Colossians 2:15 says, when he has disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them through the cross. He triumphed over Satan. Satan played his best hand, but he lost. Somebody say amen. Amen. The good wins over evil. Amen. Number two, the resurrection will be forever proof that there is hope for mankind. There is hope for mankind. You might say, boy, the way I've been looking at the world, watching, how many of you have gotten tired of watching the news? Oh, Lord, have mercy. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. But Jesus Christ is still the hope of the world. Jesus can take the hardest heart, the most stubborn heart. Look at Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church. He was a religious zealot. He would what you would be called today a terrorist. He was like a terrorist. He wanted to put Christians in jail. The Bible says he persecuted some of them unto death. So he was complicit in the murder of Christians. And yet Jesus appears to him on the way to Damascus. And Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? His eyes were blinded so that he could ultimately see. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuted. And he says, I'm going to show you what your life is really all about. I have a plan for your life. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil blind your eyes with prejudice, with hate. If you need to forgive somebody today, please don't hold on to unforgiveness. Please don't hold on. You know, well, you don't know the way my dad treated me, my mom, my uncle, my aunt. I know that there have been a lot of bad things that have happened to people. But remember, when they put Jesus on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. There is hope today. There is hope, hallelujah, for a better tomorrow. We believe as Christians that the best is yet to come. The disciples, hallelujah, were timid. They were afraid. They were hiding behind closed doors. The two of them that were walking with Jesus had their hopes dashed. They said, we had hoped that this was really the answer. Now we're going to have to go look for somebody else. We've got to look for another deliverer. We got to look for another Messiah. I'm here to tell you, you don't need to look anywhere else. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one. Yes, he's the only one. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I don't know whether it's you watching today. There's no hope in your heart right now for something. There's a dream that you've had, or the way you thought life would turn out, or you thought you would meet somebody, you know, the perfect man, the perfect woman. Don't give up on your faith today. Hallelujah. We have found that Jesus is a wonderful Savior, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Put your trust in the living God. Hallelujah. And you will not be ashamed. You see, when God raised the son, his son from the dead, he also was thinking about us. He was thinking about us and what we would become when Jesus would come into our hearts and we would be born again by his Holy Spirit. There was a time when they were so weary. I don't know who this is for today. Maybe you're so weary and tired. Where Paul and his team were in Western Turkey, which was called back then Asia Minor. It was the Roman province of Asia, which is Western Turkey. And it says in 2 Corinthians, he's writing to the Corinthians, he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about all the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. This is what he called keeping it real. Keeping it real. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we had felt like we had received a death sentence. I don't know about you, but there's people in this room right now who have been through some things where they have said to themselves, I can't go on another step. I'm going to die. You know, have you ever felt like that? You're like, I can't take another step. Here's Paul saying, we felt like there was a death sentence. But watch this. This happened, however, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. You see, God proved his power over every situation, whether it's sin, discouragement, sickness, oppression, even mental torment. He wore a crown of thorns for our healing. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Can you say amen today? When God raised his son, he also had you in mind, because he wanted ultimately you to be his son, you to be his daughter, you to be part of a family that was forgiven, a forever family in Jesus' name. So there's hope for all mankind. Next week you'll hear some powerful testimonies about people who had no hope, but they found it in Jesus Christ. And finally, the resurrection will forever be proof that we can be empowered by God to reach a lost world. God will give you the power you need. These same disciples who were behind locked doors, who were afraid, then fast forward to the book of Acts, they're powerfully confronting the same religious leaders who had put Christ on the cross. And they're telling the religious leaders, you know, you can do what you want, but we're going to obey God. They were asking, how does this man who was crippled get healed? And they said, it is the same Jesus that you crucified. It was by his name and faith in him that this man who was crippled is now completely healed. And they risked their lives. Now, they didn't risk their lives because they were trying to delude themselves. They changed dramatically because they actually met the Savior. Hallelujah. How many of you were at a place in your life? I was, you know, lost until I was 17 years old, and then I met the Savior. And then I met the Savior. Can you say, I met the Savior today? I met the Savior, and nothing will ever be the same. God raised this Jesus to life, Peter said, and we are all witnesses. He is exalted to the right hand of God. And he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, which is now being poured out. And you can see and hear for yourself. These same followers, some of them doubted. Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him. That says they all forsook him and fled. These same followers, now filled with the Holy Spirit because Jesus had finished his mission, now ascended to the Father, and he has received from the Father the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out now on the church. So we, the church, now have the ability through the Holy Spirit's power and through the anointing to continue the mission of Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is given. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, don't ask about when the time is coming for me to return. That's something the Father has determined by his own power. But I tell you this, Jesus said, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my what? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So we have the power we need. If you've been discouraged because your neighbor didn't accept Christ, or that person on your prayer list hasn't accepted Christ, hold on. Hold on. God's power can change the most hardened heart. God can give you the keys into somebody's heart. I can remember being on the campus arguing with some students and speaking with them about Christ. And they would try to argue, but we would just tell them how much God loved them. We would tell them about our own testimony, how we were once in darkness. We were once slaves to sin. We were once filled with selfishness, but now Jesus, through his love and power, has given us a brand new heart. Sometimes the best thing you can do for somebody who doesn't believe is just tell your own story. Just tell them your story about how you met the Savior and how he raised you from despair, discouragement, and from a life of sin to a life of glorious freedom in Christ. Hallelujah. The resurrection will forever be proof that we can be empowered to do the mission of God. God doesn't expect you to do your mission without him. Christian, you know, being a Christian is not something you do for God. It's only something you can do with God. You have to have the Lord as your Savior in your life. He's got to be living in your heart. And when you submit your will to him and you yield to the Holy Spirit, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or even imagine. Somebody say amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We love you, Father God. I want to pray for those who are watching by internet right now. If you are listening and you heard this message, that the resurrection of Christ is meant not just for Jesus, but it's also proof that God wins over evil. Light defeats darkness every time. Maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe you needed to hear the fact that God has the power to change the hardest heart. He took Saul of Tarsus. He took the disciples who were afraid. They were meeting behind locked doors. And he turned them into martyrs. They actually eventually gave their lives. They died for the cause of Christ. That doesn't happen if they were promoting a falsehood. If they were just making this up. Are you with me today? You're not going to die for something that's false. If you're going to die for something, you want to die for something that's worth living for. And also, the resurrection is proof. We have the power through the Holy Spirit to be a witness. You need to be renewed in strength today? Raise your hand. Anybody here needs to be restored or renewed in strength? Father, as we pray right now, God, I ask you to let resurrection power come into our life once again. I want you to ask God right now. Don't think that I'm just saying this for myself. I'm saying this for all of you. Ask the Lord right now. Say, Lord, I've tried to do things on my own. I need you, Father God. I need the resurrection power of Christ. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Renew your spirit within me. I yield to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is there anybody thirsty for God today? Anybody want more of the Holy Spirit in their life? Lord, I raise my hands to you right now, God. I need this for myself, and I hope that you all do the same. Refresh me, Lord. Refill me, Lord. Sit on the throne of my heart, Lord. Take away those dark thoughts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody needs to get free today. Pastor Angela, come and join me here for a second. I'm going to ask Pastor Angela to pray a prayer of deliverance. The same power that raised Christ from the dead also can set you free today. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. May this be a life-changing Easter. And even for those who have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, you know, maybe we need a second touch today. Maybe we need to know that this is not, like Pastor said, just history. This is reality. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, when Pastor said that about dark thoughts, the Holy Spirit said there are people that are fighting very dark thoughts right now. In Jesus' name, we stand humbly before you, Jesus. We bow humbly before you, Jesus, for you are our Lord and Savior. Lord, your light is greater than the darkness of the enemy. Oh, Lord, your power is greater than the darts of the enemy that he would throw against us. And Lord, we thank you that you are our shalom. You are our peace. And I just put your hand on your mind and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, we just pray that every dart of the enemy would be defeated. He knows he's defeated, but he lies. He's trying to get you to believe these dark thoughts that he's placing in your mind. But Jesus already won. Jesus already won. Hallelujah. And when the enemy tries to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future. You are a defeated foe. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. We pray, Lord, that every dark thought would be defeated, that every habit would be broken in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we would be set free in our spirits to worship you, that strength would come into our bodies physically. Who am I talking to now who's very weary physically? In the name of Jesus, I put my hand up. Lord, we ask for strength today. We ask for power, oh God, to flow through our bodies, oh God, to flow through our minds, God. We thank you, Lord, that this was not just history. It is reality right now, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that those who've never prayed to receive you as a personal Savior, not just a figure in history, not just a cross I wear around my neck with a crucifix, but you are seated by the Father. Hallelujah. You make intercession for us. And Lord, may it become real, up close and personal. May it become up close and personal today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I go to the piano with you because he lives. Yeah. We're going to just say a prayer for those who are watching on the internet. I'm going to ask you to stretch. And you can't see this if you're watching, but I'm going to ask the people here to stretch out their hand towards the camera. There may be somebody watching today when Pastor Angela said, if you never prayed to receive Jesus Christ, I'm going to recite a simple prayer that you can pray to ask God for forgiveness. Invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Say these words with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. You were buried and raised again on the third day. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come and live in my heart by the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, live in my heart, Lord. Help me to follow you, to know you, to love you, and to serve you all the days of my life. Help me to read the Bible and understand the Word of God from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, Angela, help me today.
Because he lives.
Can you put her mic on?
I can face tomorrow because he lives.
Amen.
All fear is gone because I know.
speak. All right. Come on, put your hands up and sing it again, everyone. And because he lives. Amen.
I can face tomorrow because he lives.
All fear is gone.
All fear is gone.
Amen. Because I know.
Because I know. He holds my future.
And life is worth.
And life is worth the living. Just because he lives.
Hallelujah. Give him a praise
Hallelujah.
In the house. Hallelujah. You have heard the word of God. I pray that you'll take it to heart. The Bible says that no word of God will ever return void. No word of God is without effect. Take his word into your heart. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even imagine. Listen to this. According to his great power that is at work within us, to him be glory throughout the ages, endless ages, in the church and in Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Happy Easter. We'll see you Wednesday. Don't forget next Sunday, Teen Challenge will be with us. Bring somebody. God bless you.